Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
I want to say it's an honor to be here in this platform. I want to thank Pastor Sean, Pastor Michelle for trusting me with this morning. My name is Eduardo. If you don't know me, I've been a part of KC for a little over 8 years, serve as the operations director here in this house. And it's been an honor and a privilege, and it's always an honor to share. I just want to shout out to our online family. We have an online family that watches. Usually they are a week behind, but it's always awesome to see more and more people getting connected to the house. Encourage you always to, of course, be in person because it's way better. We were 100 Sundays online for COVID, and that wasn't fun. Yeah, we want to be in person. We need this. We need community. So last week, how many of you were here? Okay, so about 60% of the room. So happy new year for the ones that are coming for your very first Sunday. Last week we had Harley, our worship pastor, share an incredible word with us. We gotta give it up for Harley if you were here. How many were blessed by permission granted? It was her message title, asking for more, asking for a breakthrough, asking for a promise in 2026. I want to encourage you to listen to that online. It was released on our YouTube channel today. I also had to listen through YouTube because I got the privilege of teaching our elementary kids last week, and I was actually encouraging them in the start of the new year. I was actually sharing on what is a fresh start. What are some things that they were planning, and I was asking them on starting. What did they start in 2025? How did that go? And what are they starting in 2026? I know that when it comes to the beginning of the year, I'm like that. I'm planning and seeing my year even before actually January starts, and we make plans, right? Yeah. Who here made some plans for 2026? Okay, we have half of the room that are planners. The other half probably just enjoying life as is. But actually this week I was looking at this study made with 800,000 North Americans that all their New Year's resolutions and the goals that they set for the new year die by January 19th. That's tomorrow. Isn't that crazy? I want to believe that we are different. We are approaching the year different. That our goals, our everything that we'll set for this year will not die tomorrow. And do you know why most times? Because most times those goals that die are external goals and not internal goals. So I believe, and I want to encourage you, as we approach this year, to look inside of your hearts, not deal with what's on the outside, the circumstances. Oh, okay, I want to lose weight. I want to go more to gym. I want to learn French. I want to do all these different things. Ask God, what do you want to do in my life in 2026? God, you are my creator. What do you have in store for me this year? How many of you have asked, God, what's your will for 2026 in my life? And I love that Paul helps us answer that question in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, when he says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. For what? This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He mentions three elements here: rejoice, praying, and giving thanks. Those three things, if you stop and think, are expressions of gratitude. Gratitude is not having everything in order in your life. It's often finding the right perspective in any circumstance. And we mentioned that, I believe, Kristen, leading our pre-experience today, she said, I believe there's fresh perspective. And yes, gratitude is about perspective. I may have 1,000 reasons, 1,000 motives to look back in 2025 and say, you know what? My year wasn't as I planned. I experienced loss. I experienced things that I wasn't really hoping for. But I can guarantee you, if you look back into 2025 through the right lenses, you'll have way more than 1,000 motives or reasons to see and recognize where God was in every single one of those moments. So I'll say it again, gratitude doesn't come when everything is working in your life. It comes from understanding, like says in Romans 8:28, that all things work for good of those that love God and walk according to his purpose. And I want to encourage you to walk into the purpose of God for your life in this year. Being grateful requires maturity. And mature people don't base their gratitude only on happy days. Mature people actually find gratitude in any single moments of their lives. They're able to recognize that. And that's why this morning, as I was praying for this year and was praying what to share, I was asking God, what do you want to work in my heart? That was the first thing that he says. And I want to speak on today from finding gratitude. And how many of you know that in order to find something, it means either two things. One, you've lost it in the first place. Or you simply didn't know you have it. There was an inheritance awaiting for you. You found out, so you found something. So finding is either because you lost something or because you didn't know what happened. Actually, something I was going to say, it actually happened yesterday in the men's breakfast. How many of you ever put your hand in that winter jacket that you didn't wear for the last season and you find that money, that $10, $50? Yesterday, actually, Matt found five American dollars that equals to, I don't know, 50 of our money. But anyways, it's good. It's a good feeling. I know most people don't walk with money anymore, but that moment of finding something brings joy into your life. And finding gratitude, I think one of the hardest moments and the hardest circumstances it is to find in the midst of a loss. When, you know, life throws that curveball at you that you were not expecting, finding gratitude in those moments, it is hard. And there, did you know that there is an entire chapter in the Bible that talks about loss? It's actually Jesus that spoke the entire chapter. It's Luke 15. He talks about actually three losses that happen: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Three powerful parables. And in the first one, lost sheep, the pastor had 100 sheep and lost one. That equals 1%. The second one, it's about the lost coin. The woman had 10 coins, she lost one, a 10% loss. And the last one, a father had two sons, and he lost one, a 50% loss. So all those parables speak about loss. I want to focus today in the shortest of them, the parable of the lost coin. So we're going to read that one. It's in Luke 15, 8 and 10. If you have your Bibles, I'm reading out of the New International Version, the NIV. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in all her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when a sinner repents. There's so many elements that God started to highlight in this passage for me, and I want to break it down for you, Maybe you read this message before, but I believe there will be new elements that can be key in your life to find gratitude in 2026. The first thing we talked about that happens in this parable, it talks about what? Loss. I can't gain in life if I've never experienced loss. And the thing about loss, it is inevitable many times. I know I'm a competitive guy. I don't like losing. I don't like losing when I'm like playing soccer, when I don't like, in general, I'm not a huge fan of losing. But there is so much power in losing, because most times, the truth is that you learn way more from times of loss than times of gain. So there are valuable lessons that God wants to bring to everyone. So back at this passage, starts with loss. It talks also about another element, a coin. I can't value big things in my life if I don't pay attention to the little things. This woman had 10. She lost one. It was only 10%. She could have gone her day about it without even caring for that loss. The coin may be small, but still it carries value. Even though it could be tossed on the floor, it would never stepped on, even lost, it would never lose its value. That's why we need to learn to think and to see God in the little things. Another thing that I see in this passage here is that we're talking about something that I'd like to call the strength of a pair. No woman here in this place goes to a mall and say, hey, I'm going to buy new shoes, and you buy one shoe. Right? You buy a pair. Guys like that too, right? Everybody, I don't see anybody here walking with one shoe, would be weird. Or if you go to an earring, that's why it applies more for women. So if you're going to buy earrings, you're not going to buy just one, although I know some people like wearing on only one side. Or even here, Matt, when he goes to Home Depot getting a lock, he's not just going to buy the lock, he's going to buy the lock with the key. Otherwise, what? The lock is useless. So in the moments that one coin is lost, that woman lost the strength of a pair. Strength of something being whole. And the strength that Pastor Sean was saying here a few moments before, the strength of unity. We had it all. And the same way that the sheep, the one lost sheep matters, the one lost coin represented that strength was lost in that moment. Another thing is the location that we got to think in when we look at this passage. Where was she? I'm going to read verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house? I find it interesting because this goes to show that the things that we lose can be inside of our own house many times. I don't know about you, but I am, if Pastor Sean is the king of delayed flights, I am the king of losing my wallet. I have a special anointing for that as well. And it happens every time, even to the point where my oldest son is recognizing already. And he's when I say, hey, where's my wallet? He's already like making fun of me. But not to my surprise, all the time that I lose my wallet, at least 99%, it always was inside my own house. It was never outside. I once lost a credit card here at Cineplex that someone found 6 weeks after, which is interesting. But anyways, back to the point. Most times that we lose things, it is inside our own house. When I came to Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus, I was 13 years old. I'm not one guy that has that crazy testimony that I was so lost. I was like doing drugs. I was in the midst of all this crazy stuff when I found Jesus. No, I grew up going to church. Both of my parents went to church. And this was the norm for my life. I didn't do any drugs in my life, never got drunk. But even though I've done all these things right, there were so many moments that I found myself lost inside God's own house. Wow. The problem is that when we lose stuff, our first reaction, it is to blame on the outside and not to look inside our own house, inside our own hearts. So before finding any external solutions for your problem, and I know everybody here, maybe you walked with some kind of problem this morning, or something that kept you worrying, or something that is in your head, I want to encourage you, before going and trying to find any external solutions, look inside. That's the reason why people don't accomplish their goals. They're not looking inside for the heart goals. So it is about this change of heart. It is about this change of mind. The next point is, why do we lose things many times? I had to ask that question for myself, even though my wife asked me that question. Why do you keep losing your wallet? There's a place for it right at the door. And the reason is distraction. Distraction is a powerful but silent weapon that comes against us. We lose things when we are distracted. Before that first verse that I said in 1 Thessalonians 5 about talking about God's will, I actually love 1 Thessalonians 5 as a whole. It's an amazing chapter for you to pray over your year, for us to strengthen this house, this community. It has so much wisdom in one chapter alone. In verse 6 of that chapter, look at what Paul says. He says, so be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Distraction is and will always be the number one reason why you will not reach goals in your life. Stay on guard. Stay alert. And be clear-headed. Social media allows us to be so distracted. Even as I'm speaking now, you could be, I know I look a lot of faces looking at me, which is awesome. Can we actually get those lights in the back too? It helps some people not fall asleep. Social media can distract us. You can start looking, scrolling one post, and then when you look, you're just missing stuff or missing your time. So the problem with distraction, may begin with one small loss, but it can turn into you losing so much in your life. It can lead to mass loss. And do you know what? Distraction, when it's not most common when things are hard in your life, it's actually when things are going well. When you're thriving, when things are flowing, or like you can talk to any business people, they are so focused in the beginning of their business, they are like years later, they start to, you know, like, oh, that's fine, spending some money here, spending some money there, not tracking things. Distraction comes in and brings destruction. And so sometimes I saw that even inside my house. My stepdad was a business owner, and through distraction, he didn't notice some of his business partners stealing from him. And that is tough, because many times it got to the point where he had to be bankrupt. He came into a point of no return because of simple distraction. I had this one of most interesting experiences happened to me when I was 14 years old. How many here love the movie, or probably you watched during Christmas, Home Alone? I loved that movie growing up. I switched schools to when I was 13 years old, and when I was 14, got invited into a summer intensive program in New York City in January of 2001, and I know summer, January, doesn't really happen, but it's summer in Brazil, okay? So our Christmas, it's summertime, you know, we see Santa at the beach, you know, like surfing. But I got invited into that program in January of 2001. I was 14 years old, and I wasn't fluent in English. And that the main goal of that program was you guys, it was 12 of us students that came to the U.S., and we are only allowed to speak English to each other. And that's a hard thing. So we were staying at this house of prayer from our church that had a house of prayer in Staten Island, New York. And part of that program was that we would study and then practice by talking, but also we had the opportunity of some sightseeing and some excursions in the city. We used to go to Manhattan, get the ferry, and one day I was super excited because we were about to go to my favorite toy store at the time. I actually visited one version of it in San Francisco, and it's called FAO Schwartz. It's famous, it's in many movies, it's that like big one that has a piano that people step on it, and I love that, and I was super excited about that. But in every time that we would go out, imagine, like, we're four adults responsible for 12 students in New York City, all 14 and younger, the youngest was 11. So they had to, you know, keep track of where we were. So we got into the store, and they had the strategy that I called also the strength of a pair. They paired us with one another and say, hey, you are number one, you're number two, you're number three, and you're responsible for the person that is next to your number. So let's say I was number seven, the guy was number eight, we were responsible for each other. So we walked into the store, it was 2:15 p.m. I remember every single detail because they said, you guys have an hour. We'll meet here at the door and we'll leave to the next location by 3:15. I was, okay, no problem, I can do it in an hour. I was like running to go buy a gift for my sister, buy stuff for myself. And when I was at the cashier, I looked at my watch. It was 3 o'clock. I said, I have some time. But you know what? Why not? I maybe start heading, like, if you've never been to that store, it used to be four floors or five, even five. It's huge. I think they maybe downsized it a little bit. But I got to the door by 3:07, and I saw no one. And I thought to myself, Brazilians are late. They like being late, so maybe I'm the first one here. Maybe I beat everyone here to the door. Well, 3:10 came around, nobody there. 3:12, 3:15, nobody was there. So Home Alone thoughts or FAO Schwartz thoughts start crossing around my mind and said, man, what am I going to do? 2001, I didn't have a cell phone with me. I was looking at my wallet in desperation, seeing, do I have this address of this house of prayer? How am I going to get a taxi from here? How am I going to go alone? Then I started going up and down the escalator, praying in Portuguese, in English, in tongues, in every language that I knew. I was like, please, God, just let anybody show up at this door. I'm not seeing anybody. What am I going to do? For a 14-year-old at the time, it was a situation of desperation. I didn't know how to, you know, like, okay, what if I find the ferry to Staten Island? What am I going to do next? What is the next step? I didn't know. 3:20 came about, nothing. 3:25, nothing. I was like, oh. I was like praying, please, God, let everybody, let someone remember me. Let someone remember me. Or hope they're like not playing a prank on me. I stand at the door and I see like four crazy Brazilians running from like farther from the block screaming, Duda, Duda, Duda. And they came at the door desperate. And he said, we were at Taco Bell. We knew that you liked Taco Bell at the age. I don't like it anymore, but at 14, I did like it. And we said, Duda, what do you want to eat? And then when they turned, there was no Duda there. There's no Eduardo. And they lost. They lost me. They forgot because what? They were distracted. One distraction could have led to something way worse, but thank God they came up. And that led me a lot of all my essays from graduating on. It was like, I had a good story to tell, so I used that story. But I want to come back to this parable because I want to talk, and I don't want to miss that every coin has a value. So everyone is important. Another element of a coin, if it drops, it makes some noise, right? Everybody here? when we are distracted, we actually become deaf to valuable things in our lives. I can only think about that woman. How did she not hear this noise? Oh, somebody grab it. It has value. I'm keeping it. It's probably a U.S. quarter, so no, just kidding. Warren Buffett once said, asks his employees to list 25 years that they wanted to see the company grow in a year. He said, what are the five most important ones? Circle those ones. The other 20, scratch those, because they are going to distract you from reaching what's really important this year. So many times we can come up with crazy ideas. I want to do that, this thing. But if we're able to focus on the very few things that God can give us, rejoicing always, praying continually, giving thanks, His will, I know that your year will be different. It's not about having a full schedule, finding activities for all your kids, filling up your agenda. Is it, you know what, God, I trust that you are a better time manager than I am because you rule above our time. And I trust my schedule. I trust my agenda on you. And I want to be focused on the things that you are focused for my life. I know we're 20 minutes in and I'm still in the very first verse, so let's move along. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house? After losing the coin, what does she do? She lights a lamp. You can't find valuable things in your life if they're in the dark. Pastor Michelle shared from stage the power that light has, even to keep stuff clean in an aquarium. And we need to invite, lighting a lamp means inviting Jesus to your situation, to your life, to your circumstances. It is also talks about lighting a lamp. You got to spend time in the Word of God. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light into my path. Lighting the lamp of God over our lives in this year is so critical. Another element of a light fixture back in the day used to be this recipients that you needed oil and you had to put light a fire on top, but you needed the oil to keep it running and to keep it from not going away and losing and being in the darkness. What that represents is actually the importance of continuing to pray, continuing to take things under prayer, lighting a lamp over every circumstance is not letting any circumstance you rob your prayer life, rob your worship, rob you from concentrating on the things that God has for your life and let you be distracted. I want to remind you that in the dark, we're not able to guide anyone, including ourselves. And I know that as you think about this year, you probably want to be first and foremost a good leader of yourself, of your life, of your house. So you need to light the lamp. Wherever areas you feel like you let the light go away, it's time to light it again. Next, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house? Let me tell you, no one sweeps a clean house, right? Except my wife that loves her Dyson and uses it every day. I'm kidding. Nico is in a phase that he's eating by himself, so his things are messy, so we do have to use a vacuum every day. But no one sweeps a clean house. The first purpose actually of light in that parable, it was actually to show the real circumstances. It was actually to show and reveal how dirty that place was in the first place. What if that place was so dirty that a coin was dropped and didn't make the same noise? It is different. Pretend this is dirt. The noise is different. Sometimes things can be so dirty in our life that we lost some senses. And the purpose, yes, of light was first to show, okay, hey, there's areas that I need to really fix in my heart. But I need to start doing what? Some sweeping. I need to start leading better myself. I need to take care, better care of myself. What happens if you are on an airplane flying? What is the first instruction? Put your mask on you first, then you help others. You won't be able to help others first if you're not able to keep yourself clean in the season. Another key thing is that no one that likes or sweeps their house does it from the outside in. Every time you're sweeping your house, you do what? From the inside out. And that paints a picture of what God wants us to start by looking at our hearts. And actually, okay, God, what are the areas? What are the dirts that I accumulated over the years? And especially I want to say to you, because I've been a Christian for, 26 years so far. And you can accumulate some dirt. You can be used to some kind of, like, sometimes we don't realize how dirty some things are in our lives. You know, when we had a lot of guests over the Christmas break and they were like apologizing that our car was getting a little dirty because of winter. I said, don't mind, because it's going to, like summer's going to go by and come by. And we're going to need to do a massive cleaning in our car. We do it all the time. But sometimes we accumulate dirts that we don't realize anymore. And God wants us to encourage us to continue to sweep. And then the next thing that she does is, she lights a lamp, sweeps the entire house, and search carefully until she finds it. These speak about humble, being humble. You are going to search for something small, and you do it from the far, you're never going to find it. Searching for small objects, and trust me, with toddlers in the house, they lose stuff under the couch all the time or under their fridge. You got to be able to bow down and look for it. And that requires humbling yourself. The problem is that most times we don't like bowing down. But let me tell you, it's better to bow down than to fall down. I have a friend in Brasilia, he says this all the time. Nobody can take away a man that is prostrated, that is bowed down before the presence of God. Nobody can take you down. You're already in your best position to be by the feet of Jesus, searching for the things that he wants for your life. So this passage also encourages us to really search deep and to learn to recognize the areas that, yes, they're still dirty. Yes, we still need to find things out. And I can tell you, because I saw the story with my stepfather when his business was going down. It's hard for a company that once had 300 employees to go down to 30, then to 10. You start to become blind or distracted, saying, if you don't do your due diligence of cutting people, if you're going down with a business. I know that in the kingdom we're not cutting people, but I'm saying as a businessman here, if you are not paying attention to the small details, and you are not, okay, God, accepting that this is a new season. Accepting, okay, maybe that season was different. I was walking, on a mountaintop, but now it's time that I need to be able to humble myself and understand things differently. That's why it's important to navigate every season and continue to ask God, what are you doing in this season? To learn the things and the seasons that, okay, we have more so we can bless more. Are there things that we need to downsize or protect our hearts in for such time? With all that, I say all these things are part of a process. And many times we get tempted by ideas that come and say, hey, get rich fast or get to that point fast. With God and in his kingdom, everything works by a process. It's about the season that you're going to be lighting a lamp. Maybe you're not seeing anything happening. Or other seasons that you're just continuing to obey God and you're sweeping the house. God, I'm preparing. I'm making room. like we did last year. I'm preparing the way for the King of Kings to come. Then I'm going to continue to search. God, what are you doing this season? What are you doing in my hearts? What are you doing in the kingdom of God? I am accepting my reality. Maybe what God trusts me in this season, it's only 10 coins. I'm going to be faithful that I don't lose any of them. I'm going to be faithful that I'm doing my best and I'm being the best steward to honor the talents and everything that God placed in my heart. I'm not, you know what? I don't care about that side of my life. I only care about this side of my life. God wants you to live fullness of life. Oh, Arius. As we move to verse 9, it says, and when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, because I found my lost coin. Did you notice something? She only invited her neighbors and her friends after she found the coin. Maybe our problem is that we are trying to invite people to fix the problems that we created ourselves. And many times I want to encourage you that we have to take ownership. Ownership of our heart conditions in this season. Yes, we do need community. Yes, we do need people in our life speaking at us in hard seasons, in hard moments. That's not to turn you from community and the power that community has. But we need to stop blaming others for things that we are responsible ourselves, situations that we brought ourselves into. And it is so easy to blame. Again, I told you guys, I've been 26 years part of different local churches throughout the globe, and it's easier to see so many people living bitter because they were blaming the pastor. Oh, he didn't pay enough attention for me, or my connect group leader. He didn't call me that one week, or he forgot about me, or he didn't hug me at church. He didn't say hello to me. Just stop. If you look at yourself and you're stuck, maybe the problem is not with everyone else. Maybe the reason why you're not progressing is that you're not taking ownership for the things that God has for your life. So it's time that you search and then, yes, invite. Then the next step is important. Invite others. Invite your community. It's needed. And after that, gratitude. When she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors and says, rejoice with me. She was grateful that she found something so small, but represented so much in her life. And she said, I need to celebrate. I need to call those. I need to thank. I need to throw a party to celebrate what God has done in my life. That's why it's important every time from stage that we encourage you to share your testimony. Every House of Hearts like we had last year, your testimony has that power of gratitude that can transform and change people's lives. Oh, you can say, oh, my testimony is it's too small. You never know. You never know. I still remember I had 1 cent in, I was a kid, and I was walking up to go to a Brazilian bakery with my grandma, and I found one penny in the road walking by. And I, liking a soccer player, I was going to do this movement and kick that thing. And my grandma catched in midair and said, every coin matters. Turned out that the transaction at the bakery that day, we were missing a penny. And there are stores that, maybe that store wouldn't care, but there are stores that if you're missing one penny or missing a dime, they won't let you leave with the products. So everything counts. Being grateful. I don't have time to dig into another passage, but I love another passage that happens 2 chapters after. Maybe I can paraphrase it real quick. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus is before 10 other people. So we talk about the 10 coins. 10 lepers come to Jesus, screaming from far, heal me. What happens? Jesus heals them. One comes back to thank the Lord. 10 stood at the distance in the first place. Only one, in verse 15, says that the other one that came back came to Jesus' feet. Gratitude approaches us to the God of miracles. Gratitude allows us to sense the sense of smell, the perfume, allow us to touch God. if miracle gives us a testimony like those 10 guys, they left that day with the testimony. As they walked to the priest, they got all their healing. But gratitude gave access to one. It gave that one guy intimacy that the other ones didn't have. The least expected out of the 10 came back to say thank you. There's so much power when we find gratitude. What I'm saying here, an opportunity comes to us all. Everybody has an opportunity. One of the things that our church does the most is invitations. We give opportunity. But you is the only person that can respond to that. That day, the 10 lepers had an opportunity, and it stopped there for them. Yes, they got their healing, but one came back and continued to get more opportunities. Being grateful in your life will create and generate more encounters with Jesus than you expect in this season. Last verse 10. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God, God's angels, when one sinner repents. Talking about repentance. In all these three parables in chapter 15 of Luke, we're going to see that same verse repeat after the sheep is found, the son is found, or the coin is found. There is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. What does that have anything to do with a coin being lost? It talks about every time there is a repentance in your life, there will be a celebration. When he talks about repentance here, just simplifying for those, the root word is metanoia. It is a change of mind. Every time you have a new revelation, every time you change your life about valuing the small things, valuing the little things that God is placing in your life, there will be a celebration in heaven. Every time there is one little decision make, heaven is the best at celebrating your life. And I want to continue to encourage you to always find. So let's summarize those seven things that we learned from this parable. Number one, you have to decide to find what was lost in your life. So they're going to come on the screen, so make sure you write them down. Those are keys if you want to walk into 2026. I want to say three powerful D's for your life. Decisions define destinies. Decisions defines destinies in your life. Choose. Decide today to find God in the midst of your loss that you're going through right now. In the things that were lost in your life. Number two, value the little things. We talked about that. It's really honoring everything that is placed in your hands. Number three, don't accept chaos as normal. Learn from every situation. What is in the midst of this loss or a little loss? What, God, are you trying to teach me in this season? Number four, light a lamp. Bring light into your life. Bring Jesus into whatever process you are going through right now in your life. You want to have a solution for your loss? Invite Jesus in. Sometimes, yes, it is hard. Guys, I'm speaking here. I've been there. I've been through a loss of a son. I know how hard it is in the midst of those things to invite Jesus in your process, but bring Jesus. He's the only solution. Number five, be diligent. In the search, be diligent with what's in your hands. Honor God with what's in your hands. Number six, be humble. We need to humble ourselves. This will lead to repentance. And number seven, find gratitude. Find gratitude. That's the secret if you want to achieve what God has for your life in this year. I want to end with an activation here. The VIP team is going to pass some bags. Right now, you can pass the bags. Yeah, those VIP bags. One on each row here. Grab a ping pong. Hey, Mark, you can start passing on each row here. As we pass out the bags so we're not distracted here, there's a ping pong ball. Like, no, one in each row so you can pass the bag and they can go across. Just grab a ping pong ball that there is inside of it. As they're passing it so they're not distracted, I want to read Philippians 4, 4, 7 to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The God of peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Everybody grabbed one. I'm going to make some room here so I avoid a mess. This is your aim for 2026. Get it right. I want to see who gets it right. Start tossing all at once. 3, 2, 1. Let's see who wants to hit me. Ooh. Ooh. Any more left? Ooh. Okay. Now watch. My turn. Oops, stepped on one. You know what? Many moments of our lives, you can create excuses. There, as I look across this room, there are people that are stronger than me, that are maybe smarter than me. We still have some ping pong balls going. We can always find an excuse. There are people that are more capable than myself to achieve that all that God has for my life. The secret for success is not in strength. It's not in smarts. It is being close to the presence, being close to God. Draw yourself near to Him. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice. I want to say there is hope for every single one of you in this room today. You're being presented with an opportunity. God is, all He's asking for you is, can you find me in the midst of what you're going through? Do you recognize that I am at hand? And if I am with you, you're going to win. It's not about your strengths. It's not about your smarts or any strategy that you might have. This year, the key for you is to find Him close to you. Amen? Why don't we all stand together?